In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.
Good morning, Tara.
Good morning.
Coffee down.
Tea.
Tea down, sorry. How is everybody? Yeah?
Good.
Excellent.
You can be however you want, that's okay. However you come in here today is A-okay for you to come in here today. One quick thing before we jump into the sermon I want to let you know of. We have info brochures that are at the welcome desk if you did not already get one on your way in. This is something that we made to kind of help explain a little bit of who we are, what we're doing, and this new church here in North Adams. So if you've been part of us for a while and you just want this to either have for your own or even to give out to family and friends, please take one with you. We can print more, that's no problem. If you're new or relatively new, we'd love for you to have one of these so you can get to know more about us, and then feel free to ask any questions you may have out of this of myself or Pastor Dave even as well. So we wanted to let you know that these are available. We got these made, and so hopefully they help just a little bit of introduction as to who we are as a church family. So with that, let's jump into a time of teaching from the Word of God. And we find ourselves over the past few weeks where we've jumped in with the family of Terranova churches. So there's three Terranova churches. Two of them are back in New York, but we've jumped in with them in this sermon series that is examining the whole of Scripture. Right? What we're doing is we're trying to be a people, or to be the people of God, if you would, who can watch and can learn this story, the biblical story, in a way that builds our faith in this idea that the person of God always plans or always provides for the plan of God and the people of God. Right? The person of God always provides for the plan of God and for the people of God. That's kind of the main idea, if you would, that we're trying to convey through all of these sermons that we're weaving together. For the past several weeks, we're trying to highlight how true that sentence is in the life of Jesus Christ and in the person of Jesus Christ, and how much he provides for his plan and for his people through Jesus Christ. So last week, we set up this main idea. And this should be on the slide here. We set up this main idea. We kind of did a part one and part two sermon here. This main idea that we set up last week is that from the Bible, from beginning to end, the main theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God. That's the main theme from Genesis to Revelation, is the kingdom of God, how it's built, how it comes together. And we also built this piece that the king of that kingdom is Jesus, and his coming into existence in Matthew, or no, that's the first book of the gospel, but the incarnation of God is the king entering into and ushering in the next wave of his kingdom. Right? So the main theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God, and the king of that kingdom is Jesus. Now, like all of God's truth, that foundation that we built last week comes with a consequence for us to respond to. Right, comes with something that we have to then orient our lives around. Like that huge of a truth, that this is all God's kingdom and Jesus is the king, forces us. There's a consequence to that idea. Right? And this is all over the Bible. Right? This idea that there is God's truth and then there's a consequence to it. Right? Or there's a reaction to it. Like, God is holy, so speak back to me. God is holy, therefore be holy. Right? So there's a truth and then there's a consequence. God is holy, therefore be holy. Or God loves you, therefore love one another. God forgives you, therefore forgive one another. Or, you are God's temple, therefore, this is a little trickier, huh? You are God's temple, therefore live a pure life. Right? Walk away from all of the sin and the darkness. Or for the guys in the room, this was the men's retreat last year, right? You belong to Jesus, therefore you belong to each other. Right? You belong to Jesus, therefore you belong to each other. Or for those of you who are with us in Ephesians, live in Christ was the first half of the book of Ephesians, therefore live as Christ. Truth. A consequence that we need to respond to. Right? You get that pattern that we're seeing? And so last week, this is God's kingdom, and Jesus is the king. And so therefore, this week is the consequence. Live as citizens of that kingdom. Or the question that we're really going to be aiming at today is, how are we to live rightly as citizens of that kingdom? Let's pray and then we'll dive in. Father God, we are a ragtag group of people sitting in North Adams, finding our way towards you. We are wanting to find our way towards you. And Father, in your goodness towards your people, can you reveal yourself to us? Can you convince our hearts that you are our King? And can you give us the courage to then live that out, knowing that your provision for us is the King of this kingdom, Jesus Christ? Father, we want to believe, but in so many areas, we just need more grace and we need more strength to continue to follow after this story, to continue to believe this story, to continue to yield our lives to the King of our hearts. Father, give us more faith. We know you love to give gifts of a good father, and we are asking for faith. We are asking for the courage to follow after you, to have our lives transformed by you and for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so today we're in that therefore piece. We're asking the question, how do we live rightly as citizens of that kingdom? Or how do we... Here's the tricky piece of this sermon, all right? Almost every sermon we give every Sunday is that. How do we live as citizens of the kingdom of God? Right? There's an element that we hope every Sunday we're giving you a piece of application for your life to actually live that truth out. So this sermon, if every sermon has that element to it, we are not going to cover every sermon today. Like, otherwise, you'd be here for a long time. I'm not going to do that to you. Hopefully, I'll move a little bit quicker than that today. But we are going to try to answer that question. And here's how I hope for us to journey through that today. So here's a little bit of a roadmap for our time today. The first thing we're going to look at is, what makes one a citizen? Let's get that question out of the way first. What makes one a citizen? And then we're going to talk about a citizen's new identity. And then we're going to look at a citizen's new purpose. And that's kind of our roadmap for today. But before we talk a little bit more of the how that we live as a citizen, I want us to ask an important question here. And that question is, who is a citizen of the kingdom of God? Right? And to a degree here, we all are. Regardless, right? There's nothing that we can do or not do that doesn't include us in, because God owns everything, right? He owns every soul. He owns all of the earth. He owns everything. So in a sense, regardless of who you are and how you came in here this morning, in a sense, every single one of us in here is a citizen of the kingdom of God, in a sense, right? But this question that I'm getting at here is, how do we live rightly as a citizen of the kingdom of God? That's what I want us to journey after, because we can be a citizen of the kingdom of God and have a heart of defiance, have a heart of dismissiveness, or we just may not be aware that we're actually a citizen of the kingdom of God. Right? And that's okay, but it's not eternally okay. Right? So we need to recognize this, and we need to figure out, how do I then become a citizen in good standing? If you would, in the kingdom of God. So that's what I'm kind of trying to get at after today. Here's how I want to answer that question, how we become a citizen of good standing in the kingdom of Jesus. By acknowledging and accepting Jesus' lordship over your life. All right, so that's simple, but I also don't want to make it too simplistic either, right? But how we become a citizen in good standing with Jesus is we acknowledge, we accept, we believe, we yield to his lordship over his lives. He is Lord, and we yield to that, but he's also our Savior, and we rejoice in that. All right, so this idea of becoming a citizen, a good citizen of the kingdom of God, is the journey of faith, of placing faith in this King as both Lord over our lives and Savior of our lives. Belief that Jesus reigns over us, belief that Jesus saves us. It's not just that he's a good teacher that we can learn from, that maybe we can pick up a few tidbits to live a better life. No. It is the actual orientation of our heart to say, we believe this about Jesus. He is Lord over our lives. He is Savior for us. And how do we do that? I think the journey to do that, how we express that faith, if you would, has to begin with repentance. has to begin with this idea that we are turning from this idea that we are king and queen over our own souls and our own hearts, repenting of that and acknowledging that our minds and our hearts no longer reign as supreme, but yet Jesus does, as Lord and Savior. So entrance into this kingdom, or a journey into being a citizen in good standing in this kingdom, begins with repentance. You want to emigrate into this kingdom? Humility and repentance are always met with grace and love by a king. Like, there's no wall you have to climb over. There is no hurdles that you have to meet. Regardless of our past, regardless of where we are coming from, the king of this kingdom has more grace than all the sin we could pile up in our lives. Can I say that again? Sometimes I think we just need to hear that. The king of this kingdom has more grace for you than all of the sin you can pile up in your life. But we can repent from that sin with humility. And the Lord always exalts the lowly and the humble, and welcomes us in as children or as citizens of his kingdom. Now, I want to pause here because the rest of everything that we're going to talk about today is not really going to make a ton of sense if we don't get this right. Right? Or we can try to live out of that all of our own strength, and maybe we'll be good one day and we'll be horrible another day. This is the piece we have to get squared away. So here's what I want to do today. I actually want to offer, if this is something like, man, I just don't know about this yet. I'm not sure my heart is ready. I'm not sure I understand what this means for Jesus to be king of my life or Lord over me or the Savior of me. I just don't know. I want to offer you today the opportunity to skip out on the rest of the sermon. And I'm serious with this. Like, you don't need to listen to me. What I would love to have you do is Pastor Dave, I would love to offer him to you. Go talk with him. Sit and ask questions like, what does this mean? What are you guys saying? Like, and it's okay. Like, if that is something for anybody in this room who just has not got to that point with Jesus yet, I want to offer you the time and the freedom to just walk back with Dave. You guys can find the space and just dialogue about that. It's well and good. And this applies for all ages in this room. Like, young or old, wherever you may be, I want to offer you this time. This is the most important thing to figure out about the kingdom of God, is yielding your heart and your life to Jesus as the King and Savior of that kingdom. So if you don't want to take it, that's totally fine. You can keep listening to me. Sorry. But Dave would love to journey those things with you. If not today, that's totally fine. We can do that another time as well. But that is a very important thing to work out, because all of us start here, right? Every single one of us in this room either has started here or we're right here of orienting our heart to Jesus as King. So there's no problem in jumping out and spending time with Dave on that. If you're 5 minutes from now, man, I still want to go back to that. I don't care. Stand up and walk out. I'm not going to be offended one iota. Yeah, this isn't about me. This is about Jesus. So, all right. Here's where we're at. And this is what happens. When our hearts orient to Jesus, when our hearts place faith in Christ, the kingdom of God is ushered into our soul. Right? That's the process by which the kingdom of God is ushered into our lives, and the kingdom of God is expanded by one person, by one soul, by faith in Christ. And in that journey, we are given a new identity by our King. So I want to transition to talking about a citizen's new identity in the kingdom of God. And it's important for our mind to feast on this new reality, this new identity. Because the noise of our former kingdom, the voices of our past life, or the world, is just going to, there's going to be a continual volume of noise that calls us back to the former life, the former kingdom that continues to chirp in our ears. So this is important for us to feast our mind on. This is kind of like, I was thinking about this. This is like TV in the Berkshires, all right? Here's what I mean. Nicole and I used to live in New York, and so we used to get TV channels out of Albany, right? At the time, Time Warner, I guess now it's Spectrum, but we had all the Albany channels. We lived in the greater Albany area. That all made sense. Right? We got commercials about local car dealers, and we got advertisements about local politicians. Sorry for anybody who's in politics. Anyway. So, but then we moved to the Berkshires, right? We moved to Western Mass. We moved states, if you would. and our TV still comes from Albany. Right? And so sometimes we're sitting there watching TV, and it's really weird. It's like, what? I don't care about a car dealer in Schenectady. It's almost like news from another kingdom, right? But then every once in a while, an awkward, not well-produced Berkshire commercial comes in, and you're like, oh yeah, right, this is my kingdom. This is where I live. Right? And so that's what I want to do today. Interruption, newsflash, let's remember, let's feast our mind on the kingdom that we actually belong to, if you would. Does that make sense? So let me break through that noise. Here's three things I want to give you that are important news for our minds. Citizens are God's home on earth. Citizens are free. Citizens are secure. This new identity that we have as citizens in the kingdom of God. Citizens are God's home on earth. Now, in New Testament language, what we're saying here, this is what the Apostle Paul would say all over the place in the New Testament. Citizens are the temple of God. Right? That God dwells within us. Right, so here's a passage to kind of just reinforce that. Here's Ephesians chapter 2. This is verses 19 to 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And this is Paul telling new believers that you are being built into the very temple of God. Your soul is the place that God takes up residence with you. This is fascinating and mind-blowing as to how this whole process happens. But this is consistent with the story. The whole story, right? So we have Adam and Eve walking in the garden in relationship with God in the very beginning. Then throughout the whole Old Testament, there's this God dwells in the temple, and the people would come into the temple to hear from God, to be dwelling with him in the temple. In the New Testament, we have people actually walking with divinity in the person of Christ. Well, now we're at this part in the story where the God actually takes up residence within us. It's this continual journey of moving closer and closer and closer to his people. Ultimately, right, we will dwell eternally with God in the restoration of all that was lost in the garden. But it has always been God's desire to dwell with his people. Always been his desire to dwell with his people. Now, at this point in the story where we find ourselves even, we're being told that he dwells within us. That as a result, or that he dwells within us, that we are the very temple of God. That we are the house of God on earth today, is the citizens of the kingdom. Now, we could spend an entire sermon on that, but that is our new identity, that we are the house of God. And as a result of that new identity, we are secure, right? That citizens are secure. We do not need to worry if we belong here. There should be no anxiety about whether or not we belong here in this kingdom. Those who the King has received, those who the Spirit of God indwells, have the right to be here, to be part of this kingdom, to be part of this family. Those whom the King has given eternal life and citizenship in the kingdom cannot lose that identity. Citizens are secure. Those whom the King loves cannot fall out of the King's love. Jesus would tell us this. John 10. This is verses 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. Sheep hear the shepherd's voice. Citizens of the King hear the King's voice. Right? And in this, we should hear that the King's voice promises to us, his citizens, that we will not perish, that we will not be lost by our King, that we cannot be taken away from him. Our lives in the, is the King's, and no matter what comes, we cannot be lost by him. We cannot fall out of his favor. We cannot lose his love. Our security in this kingdom does not depend on us. It depends on his strength and his willingness and his ability to love his. And let me just tell you, we are in incredibly good hands. With that, rest Breathe. Relax. Citizens are secure. I belong. You belong. Anybody belongs. As Pastor Damian reminded us a few weeks ago, your king fully loves you and your king fully, or your king fully knows you and your king fully loves you. We're secure. Citizens are God's home, citizens are secure, and citizens are free. What I mean by saying citizens are free is this, that right, Christ came to save and to free us from the kingdom of sin and death. Right? So we are free from that. So this is a longer passage, but here's Romans 6 to draw this out. This is verses 5 to 14. For if we have been united with him, and the him here is Jesus, so if we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set, tell me, free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Hallelujah. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must remember yourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. And then a big therefore. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Right? Citizens are free. Now, let me acknowledge that there is a frustrating now and not yet component to this. Sarah and I are in this boat, I guess. But there is a frustrating now and not yet here. There is this truth that the Bible lays upon us that Christ says to us, your identity is that you are free from sin. It no longer has a hold on you. It no longer has reign on you. But then the reality of life. Yeah. Right? The reality of life is that we still hear the news channels from my former kingdom. We still hear those commercials. We are still battling the weight and the burden of sin and temptation. So we must continually hear this news and hear these words, that sin does not have power to reign over our lives in Christ. That is broken. And citizens are free. The power of Christ, heard in his word, felt by his spirit within us, and reinforced by the community of the people around us, that's the power that breaks the bonds of this sin to reign in our lives. We need to tune into that channel. Or as Paul would say, since he didn't have TV 2,000 years ago, set your mind on things above. Tune your ears to hear the voice of the King. Because he's telling you, you are free. The hearts of citizens place faith in Christ. The mind of citizens are set upon the King. Then the hands or the lives of citizens are turned over to the King. Right, so a citizen's new purpose. In becoming a citizen of the kingdom of Jesus, our identity changes, and then that identity informs how we live or for what purposes we live. And I got three things here for you in this one. Citizens are united, citizens are ambassadors, and citizens are unashamed. So citizens are united. When Jesus calls us to him, he also calls us to each other. Alright? So when he calls us to him, he also calls us to each other. This is what the men's retreat was. You belong to Jesus, therefore you belong to each other, right? So when Jesus calls us to him, he calls us to each other, and he calls us to the church. Alright? This eclectic gathering of his new citizens. So here's what Galatians 3 would say. This might be a familiar passage for many of you. Galatians 3, this is 26 to 28. In Christ Jesus, you are all of us, sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all, how many? You are all one in Christ Jesus. Citizens are united. Right? We were all distant. Right? We were all enemies of the king of this kingdom at one point in our lives and in the journey of this life. None of us inherently lived rightly in this kingdom based on our own good works. But in Christ, diversity is called together because the king has set his affection upon us. Nothing of ourselves other than the king setting his affection upon us. And it draws us together in unity. There's a calling here that's embedded here, and it's throughout, like Ephesians 4 is this calling into unity. It's huge. And it's the journey of finding the places where we can celebrate our differences, because it gives honor. It actually is a worship to our common king, that all these random and different people find commonness in this one king. Like, there's an aspect of worship in there that we are to respect, we are to encourage all of our unique perspectives, all of our creativity and cultures, because it adds depth to the beauty and the greatness and the goodness of this one who can reign over all of that. Right? This is not a call to accept sin under the cloak of diversity. Let's not confuse that. This is not a call to accept sin under the cloak of diversity, but it is a call to pursue unity within diversity. Right? To all of us here to be and to be a part of the church, the place where that Christ wants this unity within diversity to be manifest, to be made known, to be made great, to put on display. And it's that exercise of the citizens of the kingdom living out all of the one another's that we find in the New Testament. Right? And there's a host of these things, like love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, exhort one another, pray for one another, give to one another, forgive one another, confess with one another. We could go on with all of the one another phrases in the New Testament, but all of that we're called to is not because of affinity or because of sameness. Right? We're called to all of those things because of our unity and our common citizenship in this kingdom of Jesus. Despite our diversity, we do all of those things. So in calling us to himself, Jesus calls us to each other and calls us to unity within the church. And then Jesus also calls us to a common mission, that citizens are ambassadors of the king. Right? As citizens of this kingdom, we take up the mission of our king. His mission becomes our mission. Right? And so let me ask you guys, what was the mission of Christ? And you can speak back to me here. So all the times you think back in your Bible Rolodex, if you have one, if you don't, that's fine. But if you do, where Christ will utter things like, I have come so that. All right? But what are some things as you think about why Christ came? What was his mission? What was his purpose in coming to do the work that he did?
Set the captives free.
Set the captives free. What else we got?
Have new life.
Have new life.
To see the Father.
To see the Father.
To live life abundantly.
To live life abundantly. Anybody else? There's another long list here we could go through. He healed, right? Jesus came. He's like, I have come. And we would see phrases like, I have come to proclaim the kingdom, right? To preach the good news of the Father. I have come to testify the truth. To the truth is something he would say. He would say, I have come to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. Right? I have come to destroy the kingdom of the devil would be another phrase from Jesus. Right? I have come to glorify the Father. I have come to reveal the Father, like Stephanie said. Right? And then the one that seems easy for me that I keep in my head is always there. Christ came to seek and save the lost. Amen. Right? And so as citizens of this kingdom, we take up this mission. Here's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 to 20. Therefore, there's another therefore. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. So we have this new identity. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. His grace is far more than their sin. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to ask people to follow him as their Lord and Savior. Jesus came and he made disciples. And then he takes those disciples and he pushes them out, sends them out to carry out his plans, that he makes disciples of you and me, and then he says, go. You are now my ambassadors. God making his appeal for new citizens in the kingdom through our very lives. That's huge. All right, this idea of ambassador, one who lives in this kingdom representing his home kingdom or nation, right? An ambassador to the Belgian embassy for the U.S. is an ambassador. He's representing the United States in a foreign kingdom. Right, that's ambassador, and that's what we are called to here, that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, but yet we live and we dwell over here and where we find ourselves, and we're called to be representations, to bring the news of God into this kingdom. Right? We are ambassadors. And this is Matthew 28 here, right? That our calling, our lives here, our purpose for our lives is to own the Great Commission as our very own, to go and make disciples of anyone and everyone. That's Paul Gordon's version. Right? And to take a part in that mission of going and making disciples, any part, big part, small part, whatever part you want to take in that kingdom, that's our purpose and our calling in life. The king's mission, the king's purposes become the citizen's purposes. One soul at a time. Helping others find Jesus as their king. Citizens are united in Christ. Citizens are disciples that make disciples. Right? And in this work, citizens are not to be ashamed. Romans 1, verses 16 to 17. This is the Apostle Paul writing, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. There is no shame in who our King is." There should be no shame in what our King has done for us, what our King is doing for us, what our King will do for us. There should be no shame in who we see as the other citizens of this kingdom. But we are to be unashamed of the gospel that has transformed our very own lives. And sometimes I just think we need encouragement in this. And I get it, you know, we say this often, that this is a hard context. I don't want us to belabor that point. The context that we're in, the spirituality that we're in here, that we're trying to bring the kingdom of God to, that's not stronger than our King. Our King's purposes, our King's plan will go forth. And we don't have to be ashamed about that. We can stand in the strength of that because it's the power of God that brings all people to salvation and becoming citizens of the kingdom of God. All right. If we were to step back now here as we kind of wrap this up and boil this all down, or try to cover, let's recap the ground that we've covered in the last 2 weeks, right? This is all God's kingdom. Jesus is the King of the kingdom. So now we're asking this question, therefore, how we live as citizens of that kingdom. It could all be boiled down to two things. The great commandment, therefore, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And the Great Commission. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go and make disciples. right? So how do we live as citizens of this kingdom? It is give your heart to the king in faith. Fix your mind on the king and the new identity he gives you. Use your hands, your life, to unashamedly live that purpose out. Love the king with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The band can come back up. As we journey into communion, let me step back again a little bit and just kind of talk about a little bit of the life of Jesus that we've been navigating in the scope of the whole biblical story that we haven't necessarily been a part of. So let me just kind of say this quickly. If we looked at the Old Testament and we looked at all the major leadership roles that God gave to shepherd his people, to lead his people throughout the Old Testament, you would see three main offices. All right? You would see prophets, you would see priests, and you would see kings, right, through the narrative of the Old Testament story. Now, here's where we are in the life of Jesus. For the first couple weeks as we looked at the life, we really looked at him as the prophet, right? The one who came to remind us of the word of God, the one who came to teach us about all truth. He's the prophet speaking the very words of God for us. And then last week and this week, we're looking at Jesus as the king, the one who reigns over this whole entire thing. And as we get into the next 3 weeks in this Easter story, we're really going to be looking at Jesus as the priest, the high priest, the one who gave his life for us, the atoning process. And so as we step back and look at all 9 weeks, we see Jesus as the perfect king, the perfect prophet, and the perfect priest for us. It's kind of the journey we've been on. And I want us to use that as we enter communion, as we enter the next 3 weeks. We do this every week. Where my heart and my hope is not that this becomes rote and just another religious activity for us to do on a Sunday morning, but yet we sit and we remember the greatness and the goodness of our King and our Savior who gave his life for us. So there'll be broken matzah representing the body of Christ that was broken on the cross for your sins to welcome you into the citizenship of this kingdom. And there'll be juice that you can dip it in, representing the blood of Christ that was shed for your sins to purify you, to cloak you in the righteousness of Christ. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and thank you for your greatness that you so fully and deeply revealed to us in the life and in the death of Jesus. May we be a people who fixes our eyes on him, who continually bring our questions, who continually bring our worship, who continually bring all of it, all of this life that we have, who continue to bring it to Christ for clarity, continue to bring it to Christ in worship. Can we just continue to kneel at his throne, yielding our hearts and our lives to him as our very personal King? Thank you, Father, for your provision for your people. This is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.